May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The readings appointed for this week are just full of interesting ideas and passages. Particularly Proverbs. And I really wish that I had had the time and resources available this week to spend some time with Proverbs. It is a remarkable passage, but I will preach on that some other day. Interesting things in James and in the Gospel as well. And I hope that as we read Scripture each Sunday, even those passages that I don't focus on, that you do take the time to listen carefully and to meditate. In the words of one of the colleagues, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest these passages as we hear them Sunday after Sunday. It is the collect that I want to talk about today, the collect appointed for today. Several things in this collect really struck me. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious, but to love. The polarity that is set up in this collect between anxiety on the one hand and love on the other. Loving things heavenly is offered to us as an antidote for earthly anxiety. To love things heavenly is to do away with anxiety for earthly things. Love is the antidote to anxiety. When we hear this collect for the first time, it may sound like it is repeating a familiar and somewhat tiresome theme of the church, which is a call to transcend earthly anxieties, to give up earthly positions and ambitions, possessions and ambitions, to give those up in the hopes of some future heavenly blessing in God's realm. If only you can put aside earthly anxieties, then perhaps some heavenly blessing awaits. But I don't think that's what this collect is saying at all, and that certainly is not how I hear it. I hear this collect, I hear this prayer as a prayer for today. Everything we say in this prayer is a prayer for today. And part of what we say is that we have the chance to grasp, to love, and to grasp heavenly things in the midst of this life, now, today, to know, to love, to cherish things heavenly now. This is not a prayer for some future hope. It is an affirmation of a present offering of God's blessing, of things heavenly offered into the midst of our daily lives. We have the chance to grasp heavenly things today, to hold fast that those things that are of God that are offered to us in this life. we cannot completely live into the fullness of God's hope for us, not in this life. We cannot completely be all that God desires and hopes for us in this life, completely. We are too burdened by our own thick-headedness and self-centeredness to fully live into God's hope for us in this life. But we can see and know and grasp portions of God's heavenly gifts in the midst of this life. From time to time, in bits and pieces, heaven is given to us in this life. The divine presence, the glory of God, are offered to us in this world, in this life. This understanding has a name that theologians call it. They call it realized eschatology. The belief, the fact, the experience that God's eschatological hope, which is the fulfillment of God's hope, that God's eschatological hope is made real, is realized in the world in which we live. It's possible to take realized eschatology too far, and yet it is, for me, the very heart and foundation of the faithful, the spiritual life. The conviction, the experience that we can and do know and grasp things heavenly in this life. But if we are to cherish, to grasp, to love things heavenly in the midst of our daily lives, how are we to know which things those are? How are we to know which things to love and hang on to? What are the heavenly things and what are the not so heavenly things? I think some of the answers to that we know in our hearts and in our souls, that the heavenly things include things like love and wonder and awe. Those things where we enter into God's realm, God's love. Things like love and wonder and awe. But I want to warn you against putting sort of material things on this bad side and spiritual things like wonder and love on the other side. That sort of dualism, again, between the material world, which is bad, and the spiritual world, which is good. Because material things, we live material lives. We are material beings. And material things can, don't always, but can, embody heaven for us as well. Many of you know that I'm in the midst of moving, just here within town. But I'm in the midst of moving. Material things are very much on my mind at the moment. Lots of material things. As many as I have gotten rid of, I still seem to have lots of material things. And there are quite a few of them that don't seem very heavenly. And yet, again and again, I come across things that warm the heart, things that bring joy, not only just for what they stand for, but the things in and of themselves that bring heaven closer, that bring God closer. A few years back, there was a book, one more book, to help us declutter our lives. I don't remember the title. I didn't actually ever read it. I think it was based on a Japanese theory, and what you were supposed to do was to take an item and hold it up and say, "Does it give me joy?" not chuck it. And somebody at St. John's was telling me, who I think had read the book, that if you think it might give you joy, you could take a picture of it and then chuck it. If it did give you joy, keep it. Keep it. I know about this book because it was, I didn't read it, but it was popular in religious circles because I think actually, in a way, it pointed towards this experience, this truth of realized eschatology, that there are things that bring joy. There are some things that bring heaven closer. There are things that connect us to God. When looking for heavenly things, the best test maybe that I can offer is to ask ourselves, is it life-giving? Is this experience life-giving? Is this relationship life-giving? Is this thing life-giving for me? Because God's ultimate promise to all of us is that life is stronger than death. Life is stronger than death. And not just in the hour when our mortal life ends, but in the midst of our mortal lives, in the midst of our daily lives, life is stronger than death. Those heavenly things that are life-giving, those heavenly experiences that are life-giving, that bring heaven and God to us, are stronger than all those things that kill us, that kill our souls, that create anxiety in our lives. Life is stronger than death. Seek out and cling to those heavenly things that are life-giving, those experiences that bring fullness of life. Loving those experiences, loving those things, cherishing these heavenly things that are offered into our lives is a path that leads towards freedom from anxiety. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly, and even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those heavenly things that shall endure. Amen.